Let me make it clear that there are two scholars and one pastor on this panel. And when I was initially approached to this, really the reason I did it was so I could get a good seat and hear what these men had to say. I do want to thank the organizers for doing this. I think it's a great project and for including me in it. I want to thank you guys for your work and thank all of you for coming out here and hopefully helping us as we think through what I think is a very important and serious issue. Now, asking a preacher to limit himself to 10 minutes on any subject is really quite unfair. And I'm happy to say that these men have given me plenty of cover now, so I feel like I'm not under such pressure as maybe I would have been. In the time that I have, though, I'd like to address three things. One is that, and some of these things you'll have heard a bit about already, is that biologists and Christians share some very important presuppositions. And I think the sharing of these presuppositions suggests that there is a way to cooperate and work together. Secondly, there are serious obstacles to working together in the present situation, and we need to talk about those. And then thirdly, I'd like to think a little bit about how we start to address and overcome some of these obstacles. So first, biologists and Christians share a number of important presuppositions. Every person has a worldview. And every worldview is based on presuppositions that are taken as articles of faith. And that's true whether you're a Christian or not a Christian. What I find interesting is the fact that scientists and Christians, and this has already been alluded to, when it comes to studying nature, share a number of significant presuppositions. And since this has already been discussed, I will just mention what some of these are. Respect for and love of the natural world. The natural world is worthy of study. Belief that nature is comprehensible and therefore is able to be studied. Belief that nature is governed by uniform laws. Belief that the human mind is able to make accurate discoveries about the laws that govern nature. Belief that objective reality, otherwise known as truth, exists outside of ourselves. That's a critical presupposition not shared by all disciplines. Belief that integrity and honesty are crucial to our studies. And belief that studying nature may improve the human condition. And we ought not to make light of these things. These are significant shared areas between biologists and scientists and Christians. Now, Christians benefit tremendously from the advancements in science. Scientists benefit from having the support of a large and influential segment of our population. It really should be groups that are trying to work together and not fighting with each other. But secondly, there are serious obstacles to cooperating as the current situation stands. Some of these obstacles come from the biologists. Some of them come from the Christians. I'll start first with a couple of things that come from the biologists. I'll mention two. First is atheism masquerading as science. So when Carl Sagan says that the cosmos is all that is, all that was, and all that ever will be, and Richard Dawkins says the universe has no design, no purpose, no evil, no good, nothing but blind, pitiless indifference, they're making atheistic religious statements. They're not making scientific statements, and of course that's a barrier to working cooperatively with Christians. The second obstacle, I think it's created by the biologists, is when biology or science is presented in such a way that it is an attack on the authority of the Bible. You cannot expect a person whose life has been transformed by the message of the Bible to choose a scientific theory like evolution, which has very little relevance to living your everyday life, at least it appears to have very little relevance to your everyday life, to choose that over the Bible. For evangelical Christians, the Bible is an inspired book. It is a reliable guide for life, and it has stood the test of time over thousands of years. Science does not have the same track record. And part of this is just the provisional nature of science, that it's constantly changing, constantly being updated. I saw that in Time magazine, you go online, you can find an article written in 1974 in which scientists are quoted as being concerned about a new ice age, 1974. 30 years of global climate cooling. And in the article, the scientists that are quoted speculate that human use of fossil fuels is limiting the sun's rays from getting to the earth and therefore leading to global cooling and sending us toward an ice age. 35 years ago. So if you wonder why sometimes Christians have difficulty saying, I'll reject my Bible for science, this is the kind of thing that does happen. Now, I think I summarize here, this certainly isn't exhaustive, but for evangelical Christians, science as atheism, science as an attack on the authority of the Bible, are two major obstacles that we have to address. Now, there are also obstacles that are created by Christians. Christians with a high regard for the Bible have tried to use the Bible for purposes that it was not intended. When a person joins the church at which I pastor, the first question they're asked is, do you believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testament are the Word of God, the only infallible rule for faith and life? And that really is what the Word of God is, what the Bible is. It is a rule for faith and life. It is not a textbook on the natural world. It's not a chemistry book. It's not a mathematics text. It's not a biology text. And so Christians who have attempted to force a particular interpretation of the Bible on their studies of the natural world end up doing a disservice both to the Bible and to science. And this is an obstacle. The second obstacle that I'll mention under things coming from Christians is, has already been alluded to, it is a defensive circle the wagons mentality that is developed. And Tim just talked about the response to being pressed is to press back. And so the current situation in which a real dichotomy has arisen in a lot of sectors in the evangelical church, in which you have on one side atheistic scientists and on the other side, true believers. I had a friend who wrote me just a few weeks ago to ask me what I thought of Tim Keller. Tim Keller is an evangelical pastor in New York City. I think one of the most insightful and dynamic preachers that you can find today. And Tim Keller's church has a really remarkable ministry in downtown New York City. But my friend had been asked by a member of his congregation about Tim Keller, and had this congregation member of my friend had gone on to say, Tim Keller does not require or advocate a young earth. Therefore, Tim Keller cannot be trusted on any issue. That's a problem. It's a myopic way to look at the situation, and one in which not only is it going to be difficult to find trust, it's going to be difficult to even communicate with people that are biologists. Because if evangelical Christians view other evangelical Christians that way, see, you can imagine how an evangelical Christian would look at an evolutionary biologist. These are challenging obstacles that we have to address. And I think not to minimize these, we have to recognize that these involve entrenched attitudes, and they aren't to be taken lightly. At the same time, I'm convinced that the problem's not intractable. And so I humbly will try to offer a few suggestions as to how we might start working on increasing interaction amongst these two groups. First of all, let me just reiterate there are no easy answers, so I'm not trying to suggest that this will solve our problem, but a couple of things to think about. The first one is the need for humility and a desire to cooperate with one another. Without humility to approach this debate and without a desire to find common ground, we will get nowhere. We will get nowhere. That is a starting point. Secondly, we need to make sincere efforts to understand one another and actually listen to what each other are saying. I find very little of this going on today. So that for Christians, they'll often completely write off anyone that they perceive is not a biblical literalist in the way they define biblical literalists. And maybe there's some of you in the audience today that are going to write us right off if we don't take a particular position on the age of the earth. On the other hand, there are people in the scientific community who immediately dismiss anyone who wants to raise questions about the current scientific paradigm. So this works both ways. And if we're ever going to make progress, there's got to be a sincere effort to listen, really try to understand what the other people are saying, and an effort to then dialogue and debate, not to attack, which sadly has become the prevailing mode of interaction. Thirdly, Christians need to be willing to revisit their interpretation of Genesis 1 and 2. Am I stepping on anyone's toes? God has clear purposes for giving us a creation account. And those purposes are theological. They have to do with the purpose of His creation. Why we're here. What's wrong with the world. These kinds of things. Anyone reading the Genesis account and thinking that God's purpose was to give us a detailed explanation of how He created the world, I think is living in a fantasy world. It's not the purpose of that account to give us a detailed description of how He created the world. The creation account is a description of something that is vastly complex, how the universe came to exist. And it's described there in a very few words. Why? Because it's giving us what we need to know. Not everything there is to know, but what we need to know about the creation account. Now, some Christians will argue that we ought not to let scientific discoveries affect our interpretation of the Bible. And I agree with that to an extent. But I also agree with John Calvin, who writes in the 16th century, if we regard the Spirit of God as the sole foundation of truth, we shall neither reject the truth itself nor despise it wherever it shall appear, unless we wish to dishonor the Spirit of God. And he was talking there specifically about natural revelation and the work of the scientists, the astronomers of his day. We will not despise the truth wherever it shall appear. The fourth suggestion I would like to make is that biologists need to be willing to consider the limits of science and the possibilities that Christianity affords. This would mean distancing ourselves from atheism masquerading as science. But it would also mean recognizing that science itself cannot answer some of the most pressing questions facing human beings. Why am I here? What is my purpose? What is going to happen to me when I die? These kinds of questions must be answered outside of science. And the Christian faith addresses these kinds of serious questions. It should not be an impediment to science, but a wonderful foundation from which science can be done. And I would encourage you to seriously consider the claims of the Christian faith as you seek to answer those questions in your own lives. A few months ago, members of a society of Christians interested in in science that I'm a part of, received a communication from one of our members who lives and works in South Africa. And this man was lamenting the fact that it seemed like in the United States we were obsessed with issues like how long the days of creation are and how old the earth is. And he said, in South Africa, these kinds of questions help us very little. Where the unemployment rate, the general unemployment rate is 25%, where in particular areas it's over 80%, where there is crushing poverty, where there are thousands of people dying from AIDS. And this man's writing to say, the church is growing, but we're facing serious questions, real questions, and we need real answers. We don't need articles about how old the earth is. And so I would sort of plead with us to think about how we can move beyond where we are now and think about how we might work together to try to solve problems that are facing real people in the real world. And I look forward to interacting with you now in the question and answer time.